You know, our wetlands are a very crucial part of our environment, and even species that don't live in them rely on good water quality. But invasive aquatic plants and animals, they're a big threat to native growth and the healthy diversity of our lakes and our streams and our swamps. And it's a constant battle to determine where they are, how to control their spread. And there's some new research out there now available on how effective our efforts have been in Wisconsin and what we can do to help keep invasives at bay. And Maureen Ferry, with me in the studio, is a water resources management specialist and the statewide aquatic invasive species monitoring coordinator with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Maureen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Larry. I'm glad to be here.
Really great to have you with us. And this program, I think the monitoring program, Statewide Aquatic Invasive Species Monitoring Program, is, I'm sure, new to a lot of people. So who are the partners in this?
Okay, for sure. So this is a DNR project that we started in 2011. We're partnering with a lot of counties, RC&Ds, universities, and some citizen volunteers that are coming out with us. In 2011, we started monitoring 200 lakes that are randomly selected each year. We go out and look for invasive species. And the purpose of this project is to get a good baseline evaluation of the distribution of invasive species in the state, and then also to see what the rate of spread is. Are all of our efforts really reducing the rate of spread, which we do believe that they are? And it's really been a neat project. It's actually the first time we've been doing a statewide a study on where invasive species are.
Is this something that is this new? Are other states doing this as well? Let's put it that way.
Oh, no. Yeah, this is really, really unique. And what we're doing could be used as a model for other states or even other regions. Nobody's done anything to the extent that we've been doing. And really, we're able to do it because of all the partnerships that we have with the counties and then with the citizens.
Walk us through how this is actually done. Can you do that?
Our actual survey?
Walk us through the whole process here. So you identify, randomly select somehow. Mm-hmm. Is it a random, totally random, or is it random among different sizes of lakes and rivers and streams?
Okay. They're randomly selected lakes that have public access, specifically public boat access, so lakes that you can launch a boat in.
Yeah.
That range in size from 10 acres to 5,000 acres.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then just a random selection from throughout the state.
And then who does the, what are you looking for, and how do you look for
the
invasives?
Yeah, we're using some snorkeling, some rake tows. We've got rakes that we put down into the water, see what kind of plants we pull up, and then dip nets. We refer to them as D nets. When we get out to a lake, we spend a half hour searching at the boat landing because the boat landing is your point of entry for invasive species. So we'll spend a half hour snorkeling around. We have dive flags that we use and a spotter at the boat landing because there's boaters that are coming and going. And then we do a meander around the shoreline, just in the shallower areas to look at the plants and then pick up snails and things like that. And then when there's five spots where we strategically pick around the shoreline of each lake.
Mm-hmm.
And we typically target areas that are most likely to find invasive species, where it could be a really disturbed shoreline or a rocky point or somewhere by an inlet or an outlet. And then we'll also collect plankton tows. Plankton are little small critters that are in the water. Mm-hmm. We'll pick them up with our tow net and then send them to a lab to look for spiny water fleas or young zebra mussel babies. They're called veligers.
So if you're doing 200,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot to do in a year, I would think.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's great. I'm glad, but I'm just, you must have a lot of volunteers and educated volunteers.
Oh, yeah. We've got one lead in each crew that's typically a DNR person, but we've got Also with some of the university, some of the county people, and then also the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission has been doing a tremendous number of lakes also in northern Wisconsin. But we've got one lead in the boat, and then we'd like to pair up with some other partner and then try to engage a volunteer who lives on that lake. Because the volunteer is going to have the most knowledge of the lake. They'll know where there's an unusual plant bed and places that we should target for looking at. And it's just a neat way to be out there with the DNR working side by side with the citizens.
Sounds like it sounds really, really interesting. Maureen Ferry, our guest, water resources management specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, as we talk about a little update on invasive aquatic species here in the state. Are you a boater? Do you know how to prevent the spread of aquatic plants, invasives? And what invasives are you aware of in the bodies of water where you live or vacation? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And certainly we would love to hear from you. Well, you have some great new data out there, Maureen. Talk about a little bit about what the trends are and what you're seeing.
Okay. So our preliminary results show that at a first glance that a lot of lakes are invaded, but we have to take that into context because it's actually pretty encouraging what we're seeing, because when you look at our data by species, we definitely are preventing the spread of invasive species. From the last 2 years of the data that we've collected, we see that 70% of the lakes that we've surveyed don't actually have Eurasian water milfoil. And in addition to that, of the lakes that we know are suitable for zebra mussels, not many of them actually have them. UW-Madison's Center for Limnology, the Vander Zanden Lab specifically, developed a suitability model for zebra mussels based on the calcium concentration of the water.
Mm.
So we know that about 4,000 water bodies in the state of Wisconsin are suitable for zebra mussels, but they're only actually in about 150 lakes in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
So that's really encouraging. So
yeah.
That's why it's so important for boaters to really clean their boats, make sure you empty the live well, don't move water from lake to lake, because the zebra mussel babies, which are called veligers, are microscopic. We can't see them. So if there's any water moving from one lake to the next, that's how they move around. But really only 150 lakes that actually have zebra mussels is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Katie in Burlington has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Katie. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm calling in because I'm very proud of my mom. I call her the queen of milfoil. She is very aware about milfoil and other invasive species, and she spotted some in a lake that she lives on up in Portage County on Sunset Lake. And so she alerted people that she knows in the area, and right as we speak, they're actually taking it out of the lake as much as they can. So I guess my question, because we kind of make fun of her because she's so into these invasive species, is maybe if you could talk about, like, why is it so important that milfoil be not in that Sunset Lake?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Well, Eurasian water milfoil isn't from here. Anytime a species that's introduced to a lake that doesn't belong there, it isn't a good thing. But it's great. It sounds like what your mom's doing is fantastic. I love that you call her the milfoil queen.
That's great. That's great, Katie.
Yeah. And it sounds like she found it early enough where they can do some hand pulling to get that out of there. And you can see really encouraging results with just the manual removal of Eurasian water milfoil. There's only some lakes where Eurasian water milfoil is going to reach the densities and abundances where it's going to have really negative impacts. Very recent research from UW-Madison has identified that even though Eurasian water milfoil is in a number of lakes, it's not really a problem in all the lakes where it is. But it's really preventing the spread and from it getting to those lakes where it could be a problem. And they're going to start looking at what makes certain lakes more vulnerable for Eurasian water milfoil to reach abundances where it is a problem.
Good for your mom, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks very much for calling. Jake in Manitowoc. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I was contacted through Tom Ward, and I am actually one of the boat inspectors for the Manitowoc County area.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Just wanted to...
So what's your experience been?
It's a really good opportunity for kids going to college. Like, I'm going to college. I actually leave on Saturday because I'm playing football at UW-Stevens Point.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to college for fisheries biology. So it was a really good job to work for this summer to learn about all the invasive species and talk to people about how to help stop them to spread them and stuff like that.
When you talked to people, were they receptive to what you had to say?
A lot of people, yeah. A lot of people like knew, like the big ones, the Eurasian water milfoil. A lot of people knew about that one. And they were pretty good about it because a lot of the fishermen, you know, everyone's trying to help out because some of the lakes in Manitowoc County are getting pretty bad and the fishing's starting to go downhill a little bit. So a lot of them are pretty receptive and good about the feedback. So,
yeah. Well, that's great. Maureen, do you have a comment?
Oh, sure. So you are like the Clean Boats, Clean Waters watercraft inspector?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's a great experience for any college student to have because you learn more about interacting with the public and about invasive species, and then also you gain more of an appreciation for lakes. And really, the Clean Boats, Clean Waters program has had such a big influence, especially when you have the citizen volunteers, too. It's that face-to-face interaction. You can hear about it over the radio or see it on the billboards, but when you have a person approaching you at the boat landing, it makes such a difference. And it's really rewarding, too, to be that person sitting at the boat lander, knowing that you're making a big difference. So good job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Jake, and good luck with your studies.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. All right. The UW-Stevens Point has got a new, very good student mm-hmm. coming in there. Thanks again. Appreciate it very much. Well, we have a lot of things that we can talk about. We certainly are going to continue to talk about the monitoring program and some of the findings of the program because there have been some pretty interesting things out there. And, of course, we want to hear from you with your questions and with your comments and also with your experiences. I really hope boaters, I've been a boater pretty much my whole life and own boats, and I've always tried to do the right thing when it comes to cleaning boats and getting rid of the live well water and so forth before moving from one lake to the next. I hope you've had similar experiences. And we can share those as we visit with Maureen Ferry of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources as she gives us this update on invasive aquatic species. She'll be with us right up until 12:30, but we'll take a quick look at the news now and find out what else is in store for us. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we continue our discussion on invasive aquatic species. There are unfortunately, many of them here in the state. There's a great monitoring program that's going on to sort of assess where we are, and it's an ongoing program. So we're having a chance to sort of take a look and say, okay, are we doing any better? Are things getting better? Are they getting worse? Maureen Ferry is a water resources management specialist with the statewide aquatic invasive species monitoring program. She coordinates that, by the way, for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Maureen, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks so much for coming by. I really appreciate it. You may be a boater. You may have some questions about the program. Have you been a volunteer in the Wisconsin Statewide Aquatic Species Monitoring Program? Have you been involved in that way? We'd certainly love to hear from you about your experiences. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's take a question or a comment from Mike in West Bend. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Yes, I just want to let you know just how serious the fishermen are taking this. I just got back from Vieux des Aires. I watched a Michigan game warden hook up a Wisconsin boat that failed to wash off at the Wisconsin side. And a lot of these guys are all volunteers. Sportsmen's clubs are buying these power washers. You either wash your boat before you get on, you have to wash your boat on that lake when you get off. And I was up at Beta Knock, and the Wisconsin DNR had their power washer up there to show them. Mm-hmm. First guys in line at that walleye tournament were from Wyoming and South Dakota. They don't even think about going on a piece of water out west without your boat being cleaned and inspected, and they really give you a heavy fine. So I think I'd like to see more of these power washers, especially in the Winnebago system. Mm-hmm. But I think the guys are, certainly the fishermen are well aware of it, but I think the enforcement should be a little heavier in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I really want to speak to that, the fishermen being so aware. We stop in at bait shops and drop off these flyers, and when you start talking to the bait shop owners and the people who are buying bait there, they are so knowledgeable in invasive species. It's really tremendous. And they're a great, great group to partner with. And it's really cool that they're going above and beyond and working with these boat washes to make sure that boaters really do clean their boats. They're great partners for us. And you questioned about getting more boat washes out there. The state of Wisconsin does have boat washes along the Lake Michigan shoreline, and a lot of like the county partners and RC&Ds can go in for grants and have projects with boat washes also. But yeah, I mean that's definitely a good way to do it. But there's also other ways too. Just make sure your boat is dry, remove all the vegetation from the boat.
Yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know how the fishermen are really really aware of it because it's all our own waters. You know,
yeah, sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Dennis in Eagle River, your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, hi, Larry. I'm glad you were able to get me on before the rest of the program finished. I am also one of those volunteers that you talk about that work the launch, because the best way to prevent the spread of these invasives is to make sure it isn't carried by boats. Now, the reason I'm calling is because I know, partially through the work with Ted Ritter, they're looking about revising the inspection form, which I think is a wonderful idea, because the current form was softened over the last form they had. It nicely gathers data for the DNR, talks about the laws, but doesn't call for an immediate inspection from the person working that dock. In other words, if you don't have someone at the dock that says, would you please drain your boat before you enter the water? Would you make sure there is no residual water left in your live wells? Things of that nature have to be reinstated on this form if you really want these inspections to be effective. And I don't know why they softened it up much as they did the last 2 years.
Yeah, I hope you're sharing those thoughts with Ted Ritter, because I know he's involved with those discussions on the Clean Boats, Clean Waters forms and stuff like that. And I really have to say the coordinator that you have in Vilas County, Ted Ritter, he's kind of been the father of a lot of these statewide efforts. Yeah, he's been a tremendous partner for everybody. And make sure you communicate your concerns about the form to him. Because we are here to listen. And I really have to commend you also for spending time at your boat landing. I know that there's all these options and funding sources to have paid watercraft inspectors, but it's so meaningful to have somebody who lives on that lake speak to the boaters, because you are so passionate about your lake.
I have already, Maureen, submitted my suggestions to Ted Ritter, because I noticed that the volunteers have fallen off in our area because they don't currently find the inspection procedure very meaningful, because it truly is not an inspection form anymore. It is more like, hello, have you ever cleaned your boat before? Where we're hoping Ted, who is responsive, will see the need to tighten up so that once again the inspection form is truly an inspection form.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts here.
And the volunteers, I really would like to emphasize, or have you emphasize, or at least talk about the importance of volunteers in this whole effort. Can you talk about, I mean, volunteers are really necessary, are they not?
Oh, yeah. So, absolutely. The volunteers live on the lake, so it's really easy for you to sit at the boat landing and talk to boaters that are coming and going. We do also have the Citizen Lake Monitoring Network volunteer program, where volunteers can be trained how to monitor for invasive species in your own lake, because you live on the lake, you know if something unusual will appear on the lake. A big push that we're doing with our monitoring program this year is to invite a citizen who lives on the lake into the boat, in the hopes that we could eventually recruit them into the Citizen Lake Monitoring Network program. Because like I said, we're monitoring 200 randomly selected lakes, some of which have never been monitored before, and some of those have an existing Citizen Lake Monitoring volunteer, but we're only visiting that lake this one time, and then that's going to be it. And the DNR and even our county partners, there's only so much staff, but we have so many lakes in the state of Wisconsin. We really need those volunteers out there looking and finding these things early on, like I forget what county, if it was Manitowoc, Portage County, the milfoil queen, how she found the Eurasian water milfoil can do some hand-pulling of it after finding it early enough.
Yeah. Dennis, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Patrick calling from Minnesota up next. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for calling.
Hey, can you guys hear me well?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was summer I was an intern for the Minnesota DNR doing some water catch inspecting like those other guys were. I don't know what the difference is between the two programs. I assume they're pretty similar. But yeah, my comment was, 90% of the boaters, their boats were clean, didn't have any water in their live wells. So I think that really exemplifies how easy it is to transport these things from lake to lake.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. From our watercraft inspectors, we saw those same numbers, that 90% of the boaters are aware of aquatic invasive species. And I really attribute that to the volunteers that sit at the boat landings and talk to the boaters all the time. Just that face-to-face interaction really does work.
Oh, absolutely. But it doesn't take much to get, it just takes one boat.
Yeah, that's true. That's why we need to keep doing this program and really letting everybody know to you need to clean your boat, remove all the vegetation. We're even taking our boat wash, our boats to a car wash and spraying them down, and then we spray them even with bleach just to make sure that we're not vectors.
We had caller Mike wondered what was going on with invasive mussels in Lake Michigan.
Okay.
Is there anything that you can report on that?
I don't work with the Great Lakes too much, but the zebra mussels and both quagga mussels are in Lake Michigan, and they're having tremendous impacts from their filtering. They have little siphons. They're kind of like little straws where they suck the water in and then filter out the phytoplankton, zooplankton, any little critters that live in the water. And when they do that, they're really changing the aquatic ecosystem. And they can have fairly dramatic impacts for what they're doing, and it's very disturbing, and that's why it's just so important to make sure you don't move water, don't let those critters get around. I mean, is it 150, 164 lakes in Wisconsin have invasive mussels, and that's it. We just really need to make sure to clean our boats to prevent them from moving around.
And you were telling me about some of your own experiences scuba diving and how dramatic it is to see, 40 feet down in a lake, the bottom of the lake covered with zebra mussels.
Yeah. I'm just finishing my graduate research. I spent all last summer scuba diving in northeast Wisconsin and upper Michigan, and scuba diving really was eye-opening for me for a number of reasons, but to see what zebra mussels do underwater and to watch them filtering, and they're changing the lake with all the filtering that they're doing.
We had an email from Carol. Is an interesting point too. She's in from Wisconsin Rapids. She said, "My husband and I are kayakers, and while we do wash our boats off each time we take them out, we're wondering if we need to use a power washer or soap and water with a scrub brush. Is just rinsing with clean water and then drying sufficient?"
We're even in the process of developing decontamination protocols, and really removing all the vegetation is good. Drying is good. Of course, washing is going to be better. As long as you let it dry for 5 days, you should be pretty well set. But like I said, with the DNR boats, we're spraying them with a low bleach concentration to make sure that any critters are removed. There is some research that's being done right now at Trout Lake in Vilas County on the required drying times for invasive species. And we hope to have them present some of their research at this year's Wisconsin Lakes Convention, which mm-hmm. is going to be held in Stevens Point in April. So really, I encourage anybody listening to come to the Lakes Convention because it's a great outlet to learn about some of this research.
And when is it again? It's
it's sometime around Earth Day. Earth Day is April 22nd. But
okay. Online, if you go to the DNR website, it'll pop up.
Yeah.
You'll be able to find out.
Yeah, and on the Wisconsin the UW Extension website will have a lot about the Lakes Convention.
And for people who are interested in volunteering, I want to make sure I get that in before we get too far. Actually, people have been calling about that. As a matter of fact, how do you get to be a volunteer?
To be a Citizen Lake Monitoring mm-hmm. volunteer, on the UW Extension website, they have a link to programs for both the Clean Boats, Clean Waters and the Citizen Lake Monitoring. And I believe somewhere on there, they should have a calendar that advertises workshops mm-hmm. for when there's trainings. And they hand out equipment for both the watercraft inspections and then the get in your boat and monitor your lake for new invasive species. You can also contact someone at the county office. Mm-hmm. We partner with a lot of the county land and water conservation departments or some of the resource conservation and development departments that mm-hmm. got a little lengthy, sorry. But we've got county aquatic invasive species coordinators that host a lot of these trainings, but they really advertise their workshops through that UW Extension website.
And crew leaders are happy to get out. Many crew leaders are happy to get out and give talks, too, if you have an organization that you might be wanting to hear what's going on, a crew leader is typically happy to give a talk.
Yeah, so how I mentioned, we've got these crews throughout the state that are monitoring these 200 randomly selected lakes. Each one of those leads in the boat, and then all the people that are in the boat with them actually are really well-versed in invasive species, and they're so happy to work with some of the groups. So if you guys are interested in getting them or you see them out on the water, they're happy to come and talk to your lake associations or put on a workshop for you.
All invasives equally problematic? Probably not.
No, they're not all problematic. The mystery snails, which have is why we have 75% of our lakes, we've seen invasive species in them. That's because mystery snails have become so prevalent. They seem to be able to spread fairly easily. But even though that they're so widespread, we haven't seen any significant research with what their impacts actually are. It seems that they're fairly benign in a lot of the lakes. They're more of a nuisance than anything. So the zebra mussels aren't really hurting the ecosystem like zebra mussels do.
You mean mystery snails?
Mystery snails. They're just a small snail. You'd have to attend one of our trainings to learn how to identify them. But they're in a lot of our lakes. It was a surprise for us to see just how many that they're in.
What are the most worrisome?
I would say, oh gosh, that's tough. Yeah. Well, zebra mussels are pretty bad. They're real ecosystem engineers. Eurasian water milfoil in some cases, but like I said, in a lot of lakes, we're seeing that they're not going to reach those densities where they're going to have big impacts. We still don't want them in lakes where they're not native.
And citizens, again, what can citizens do to help on this?
They could volunteer just to be a Citizen Lake Monitor or the Clean Boats, Clean Waters volunteer.
And are there some other resources that you'd like to point people to about the whole program here, about the invasive program?
On the DNR website, when I visit the DNR website, I just go up to the search bar and type in invasives, and that'll bring you to right to the main page for both terrestrial and aquatic invasives, and you can explore around there. There's just a ton of information, and there's information there on each species and what the different programs are.
And Dave in Hillsboro has a question. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. My question is, we do a lot of fishing in the summertime, and we're basically exclusive in Peyton Well and Peyton Well below the dam and in the Wisconsin River. And that's basically all just one big body of water. Do we need to be as vigilant with cleaning our boat as, say, someone who goes like to Lake Winnebago and then Green Lake and Lake Michigan and Green Bay? You know, do we need to worry about it as much as someone like that?
That's a good question. So anytime you go to a new water body, you'll want to clean your boat. We know we have things documented in Peyton Well, but there might be things there that we're not aware of. So no matter what water body or how often you move from water body to water body, you should always be following the disinfection protocols where you inspect, remove the vegetation, drain your water. I understand your comment about going from Lake Winnebago, but really it's any lake. You have to just assume that the lake has zebra mussels or and there's invasive species that aren't in the state of Wisconsin yet. Lake Michigan has 184 invasive species. Only 29 have made it to inland waters that we know of. So there's other critters out there that could be in these water bodies. We just haven't found them there yet. So you should always follow those disinfection protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dave, for calling. And trailers, too.
Oh, for sure.
Trailers, I think, are, you know, how often, I know just looking at my own trailers, the weeds and so forth, they get caught in there. And what gets caught on the rollers and inside the rollers and everything, I really need to be cleaned as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
It's a challenge.
Justin in Ashland, thanks for calling. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Same here.
What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is purple loosestrife. I'm from the Bad River Band of Chippewa Indians here in northern Wisconsin, right on the shores of Lake Superior. And harvesting wild rice has been in my culture for decades, you know, probably even centuries. But, yeah, one of our main problems out in the rice fields is purple loosestrife. How it chokes out a lot of the wild rice. I really haven't seen like a really bad year with purple loosestrife, but I know like every spring the Bad River Tribe hires people to go out there and pull it, but it's almost like they don't accomplish what they want to do, which is 100% removal.
Yeah, thank you, Justin, for calling. I appreciate it very much. And comments from you, Maureen?
Yeah, the purple loosestrife is really challenging, and I'm so sorry that you're struggling with it with the wild rice, because I know how important that is. I know that there's this program using beetles as a biological control for purple loosestrife, and I believe the Bad River Tribe also works with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission to raise and release these beetles. I had worked in Superior previously and had helped them with this rearing station that they have. So there's this beetle that's not native to Wisconsin or North America. That eats purple loosestrife and really only purple loosestrife. And there's programs where volunteers can actually grow purple loosestrife in kiddie pools in their backyard and raise these beetles as a biocontrol for the purple loosestrife. But really, it's not going to be 100% control of purple loosestrife using these beetles. It'll bring the densities down, but it's still going to be there. It's just going to be another plant in our wetlands to some extent.
It's been a very effective, I mean, it's been a pretty successful program with these insects. I mean, it's really, I know, made a huge difference in many areas.
Mm-hmm.
You just wish you had, we had something similar for some of the other things that are out there.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Well, Justin, thank you very much. Appreciate your call very much. And Maureen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, and I'm you know, we really have plenty more we could have talked about, so I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Yeah, I would be so happy to. I'm very happy to have been here today.
Maureen Ferry is the Water Resources Management Specialist and Statewide Aquatic Invasive Species Monitoring Coordinator with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We'll have her back, and we'll do this again for sure. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about the impact stress can have on pregnancies. And that's at 11. Then 11:45, we'll find out what are the key questions you should ask your doctor when you visit with him or her. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.